The first reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, and it can be found on page 1157 of your pew Bibles. The collection for God's people. Now, about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introductions to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, this reading can be found on page 971, Matthew 6, 19 to 24. And is, of course, headed Treasures in Heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Father God, we pray that you would help us to hear you, to understand, to believe and obey you as our loving Father God. Amen. This month, we've been thinking about giving. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you'll know that. So today's handout is yellow, and it actually has all 3 weeks' handouts in. So if you missed a week, you've got an idea of what we've been talking about. Or the sermons are on the website if you want to sort of catch up with what we as a congregation have been thinking about. As we look at this theme, joyful generosity, the saying goes, the last part of a person to be converted is their wallet. You convert their heart, their head, their time, their diary, and then finally their wallet. So we've been thinking about what does the Bible say about why we should be giving money, where we should give money, and you've probably seen those four pictures on the front of the leaflet before, but I've been using those to think about how we all give to everything that we do as a church. So we've been working at communication sort of people claiming for what they do so that we're all involved in everything that goes on. We're thinking about increasing our parish share. That's what we give towards a sort of central pot. We underpay. We don't pay for the resources that we get. And it'd be good if we could increase that to be taking our part. And also, if we can increase that, it will safeguard our ministry into the future. We think about increasing and committing to our giving towards mission, international mission through our mission partners, the Balfours, and local mission like the Eldall Manor and things like that, but really budgeting for that rather than relying on particular collections. And then slightly separately, but as part of that also, we're thinking about raising money for our buildings and particularly the heating, renewing the heating. So that's quite a lot of finance things going on. So we're thinking about how we can grow in generosity. And what we've looked at the last few weeks is belonging to the body. First of all, we've remembered that we belong to the body. I need you, you need me, we need each other. If we don't turn up on a Sunday, we are missed, because we all have gifts. We all take part in the body of Christ. And then we've been thinking last week about the Christian giving by grace. It's not guilt, it's not duty, it's not an obligation, but it's out of the joy that we are given. Because first of all, we know that Jesus has given everything for us. And it is joyful because in giving, God lets us join in with his mission. So if we're not a Christian, we don't think about finances first. We think about receiving Christ first. And we want to be really careful how we ask people for money. We don't want to be asking people who don't belong here to be giving towards the ministry, although I'm happy for them to be helping us fix the hole in the roof. But if we are a Christian here, then we already know God's grace in our lives. So the question for this morning is, why is giving hard? If all this, we remember what Jesus has done for us and we remember the grace of God, well, why is giving hard? And so we confront the problem of greed. About 10 years ago, you'll know that there was the biggest global financial crisis since the Great Depression. There are all kinds of reasons for it. Some of you will know more about it than I do. But there was one underlying cause, greed. Jeremy Paxman was fairly typical when he said, "Why are we in this mess? Why are we now facing the prospect of economic Armageddon?" It's because the prevailing characteristic has been greed. It doesn't matter whether it's individuals living beyond their means, or governments living beyond their means, or people seeking to get rich quick. And I guess whilst we might be fairly good at pointing out the problem of greed out there, we're probably much slower to notice the problem of greed when it hits our lives. It might look like, well, I'm too young, or I'm too old and retired, or I'm too poor, or I'm not so bad when I compare with others. But Jesus said, didn't he, in his famous parable of the sower, he talked about the impact of money on our fruitfulness as Christians' disciples. He talked about one particular area of soil. Do you remember? He said, "Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things, come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." You see, wealth is deceitful. Before we've even noticed, money can wrap itself around our hearts like one of these weeds. And the life of joyful, wholehearted discipleship is choked and replaced by anxious, preoccupied, never satisfied pursuit of money. And that is why giving is hard. It is a battle and it is a discipline. And you'll see on the handouts, that's primarily what we're thinking about today. First of all, giving as a spiritual battle. So hopefully you've still got Matthew 6 there in front of you. If you look as how Jesus finishes this bit in verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." He's saying money can easily become a substitute God that we love and depend on and live our lives for. We probably don't refer to money as a God in this day and age, but can you see how it can take God's role? We can look to money to save us from trouble. We can look to money to provide us security. We can look to money to give us a sense of worth and importance. And all these ways are ways that we serve money rather than it serving us. And when money begins to function like that in our lives, it makes us very reluctant to give money away, doesn't it? Because it gives us all these things. And that's why giving can be a battleground in a Christian's life, a spiritual battle. And like any battle, we need to take it seriously. It's going to be hard. And we need to use the armor and weapons that God gives us to fight. We need to start by putting on the belt of truth. And there are two truths in what Jesus says here. To remember. He asks us, remember what really lasts. And remember who God is. First of all, remember what really lasts. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There are two places where we can store up treasure, treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. And the big difference between the two, did you see, is how long they last. We see that so obviously, don't we? We have such a throwaway culture at the moment. Cars only supposed to last a certain amount of time. Computers only last a certain amount of time. They seem to be designed to wear out. Material possessions simply don't last. But the good news is, while you can't take it with you when you go, you can send it on ahead. You can't take it with you when you go, but you can send it on ahead. If you store up treasure in heaven, as Jesus puts it, moth and rust don't destroy. Thieves cannot break in and steal. So what are these treasures in heaven? What is this sort of savings plan that Jesus has in mind? Well, he's talking about using your time and your energy and your money towards the things that last through into eternal life. That might include putting energy into growing your relationship with God, spending time in Bible study, in prayer, letting God work in our lives to build godly character. It might include helping others come to know Jesus so they can enjoy the life he promises too, like being involved in something like Messy Church that we had yesterday. It could be any number of things, but it starts from an attitude that wants to invest in the new everlasting kingdom Jesus has rescued us for. And when we have that basic attitude, remembering what really lasts, well, then it'll have a big impact on our giving. We'll hold less tightly to our money because we know it won't really last anyway. And we'll use our money with eternity in mind. We'll be much slower to store up stuff for ourselves and maybe much quicker to give money away to Christian causes that will last through to eternity. If you want to fight the battle to be generous, keep remembering what really lasts. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And then remember who your God is. Do you remember verse 24? You can serve this or that, God or money. It's a stark choice. Either you're living for money or living for God. You can't have a bit of one and a bit of the other. And the living God is so much better than money. He loves you and he sent Jesus for you. He who did not spare his own son, will he not give you everything you need, as it says in Romans? And a God who will never let you down. He's committed to that depth. And he will be with you forever. So maybe next time we're finding it hard to give money or to raise our giving, we need to stop and remember, well, who am I serving here? Are we really trusting in the living God? Or is our heart beginning to trust in money? I think there's no better antidote to the seductive grasp of money in our lives than to give it away. The more you give, the less control money has over you as a master. And I think that's just what you find when you talk to any Christian who's given sacrificially. You find they say, boy, it felt like a hard thing to do, but as soon as I did it, written that direct debit or given that check, it felt like I was free. It was wonderful. We at this church have recently had a rather generous gift from friends from another church. They sold their business, they built it up over many years, and they'd sold it. And before they were going to enjoy all that money for themselves, they wanted to give large chunks away. And they have had so much joy choosing what to do with it and doing that. That is what it feels like when money serves you and not the other way round. If we feel like money has been nudging its way into God's position in our lives, kick it back into place by giving it away. Spend it for eternity. And don't delay. Do it when you get back home today, this afternoon. Giving can be one of those things that we never quite get round to organising. Like any battle, the key to success in the spiritual battle of generosity is being prepared. So listen to the warnings Jesus gives us here. Remember what lasts, and remember who we're serving. And then enjoy the freedom we have to give whatever's on your heart. Giving is a spiritual battle, and giving is a spiritual discipline. So we need to train with our godly perspective. Imagine you have exams coming. I guess it's been a while for some of us, but some of us might be living it through children or grandchildren. Getting ready for them required discipline. I needed to drag myself off the beach where I live down in Torquay and get down and study the books. You've got to resist all the other temptations and do the revision. Or otherwise you pay for it, don't you, when the exams come. Or imagine training for an event like a marathon. I know that some of you are crazy enough to try and do that. If you don't discipline yourself to do that physical training or to do the practice, the event itself, well, you let yourself down, don't you? And growing in godliness and the joy of living wholeheartedly for Jesus, it requires discipline. The Bible talks about discipline. I think you've got a verse there on your handout from 1 Timothy 4. This is Paul writing. It says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is true in any area of life, including the whole area of giving. So what does that look like? What disciplines will be needed in my life if I am to grow in godliness with my finances? Well, plan it. Plan your giving carefully. It's exactly what Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to do in that other reading we had in 1 Corinthians 16. He says to them, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. He's talking about that one-off collection that we talked about last week. He's going around the churches to collect for the Jerusalem church, which was poor. But there are principles that apply to all of our giving. On the first day, before other things. Don't take me as a model necessarily, but just to let you in on what I do, I direct debit from my current account. My pay comes into my current account, and then out of that account, I direct debit into a tithe account, which means I have no chance of accidentally spending it, and it means I'm not using that bit of money in my budget for everything else. But then from my tithe account, there's a regular debit to church, and also a couple of missions that my friends are involved in, and other things. But on the first day, before I'm planning with the other parts of my budget, we're going to use a new tool here at church. The PCC know about this, and we've been trying it out to see that it works. It's called the Parish Giving Scheme. It's a way of signing up to a direct debit. We've got envelopes with your names on, I'm afraid. So I'll come and give you one at the end and talk more about it. But it's just a way of doing a direct debit, so it's no more complicated than that. The money goes out on the first of the month. One of the benefits to the church is gift aid is organised, and we get it all the way through the year. So you might know that sometimes we get this big lump of gift aid at one point in the year, but using this, we'll get it all the way through the year. And using this, we'll know what you're giving. And as a church, we want to plan. We want to plan for 5 years. What's possible? We want to do new things. We want to use God's money well in all sorts of exciting ways. And this, I believe, is one tool that will help us to do that. On the first day, we want to, how much should I give? Paul says, give a sum of money in keeping with your income. That means it's proportional. If we're wealthy, we can be planning to give more. If we're not so well off, we can be planning to give less. But all of us should be planning to give in a thought-through way. In the Old Testament, you know, they were required to give 10% of their income to God's work, and then they gave more with additional free will offerings. In Jesus, we're free from that rule. Generosity should be an overflow from our hearts, not an obligation. But I've often found, and maybe you've found, that 10% is probably a good starting point for us. And then budget. Perhaps the most helpful tool to help us to give generously is a good budget. And maybe when you set your budget right over the top, investing for eternity, then work out how much you need to spend, daily living, bills, holidays, the car, some saving maybe for concrete things like getting a house or helping children through university. And then you might find you're in the wonderful position of being able to give more than 10%. It might be that you cannot give as much as 10%. Christians want to give generously. If you can't hit 10%, please don't panic. You're not under law. You're under grace. You are free to give. But our plan budget shouldn't restrict our generosity. If we find that we've got a particular need here as a church, like the heating project or whatever, maybe we need to delay the new car or whatever it is so that we can meet the gospel need instead. And if you need help, it's worth saying while we're thinking about finances, if you need help, if you're in financial difficulty, please do speak up to someone. This is your church family, and we can help each other. And this is a particular area where I want us to bless our parish, and particularly families we've come across in Woodlands Park. There's something called Christians Against Poverty. We're going to look into kind of the training they do. They give some training on basic budget to help. And then you come alongside people and help them with budgeting. It can make such a difference in people's lives. And then who should I give to? Well, the Bible is clear. You should look after your own needs and of your family. You should be giving to the ministry of your church family. And then gospel outreach and the poor and needy. So we've been thinking about that under those four titles. Ministry all to all. We're working at communicating and all being involved in everything. The parish share increase as we think about belonging to the wider church in Maidenhead. Mission as we think about belonging to God's world. And then raising money for particular needs in the building and heating. Plan your giving. Review your giving regularly. You'll know that if you once put in sort of the regular giving, the next year it's worth less because of inflation. The next year it's worth less. That's another way in which this tool helps, because you can opt in to inflation, to have your giving go up with inflation, or at least to be reminded to review your giving. Sometimes we need to review down rather than up. But we need to be able to think about it. We don't want to just give and forget about it. There's also a little token that comes with this if you're giving by the parish giving scheme. So when the bag comes around, and we're not embarrassed because we're giving in a different way, but we can put the token in. And that reminds us, doesn't it? We're giving thanks to God again of what we are giving out of what he has first given us. And then cultivate a generous spirit in all of life. It's great to set up a regular direct debit, but we don't want to just give and then forget about it. The Bible encourages us to cultivate a generous instinct. In last week's passage, we had, he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way, so you can be generous on every occasion. Finance is just one area, isn't it, of what we give, seek to give to each other because of what God has given us. It's a grace that God gives us. A generous heart grows as we experience God's generosity to us. But it is hard. So am I fighting that battle? Am I training in that discipline? How do I need to respond to God's word in this area of giving? So over these last weeks, we've thought, you have received belonging to God's wonderful body. So we give as part of the body. You have received everything you need from a good God. So we give from what God has given us and from our hearts. And you have received life for eternity and a promised place in heaven. And so with that perspective, we give for eternity. I'm going to pray for us and as a church, as we think about our giving and look to the future. Let's pray. Father God, we do want to be part of your mission in this place and amongst our friends and family. We want to see exciting things. We want to see this church grow. We want to see lives transformed by your love, by your good news of Jesus sent into the world. And we know that finance is part of it. Help us not to shy away, but to confront that. Help us in the battle to know your truths, to remember what lasts, to remember you as a good God. Help us to train in the disciplines, to put practical things in place. May we be generous, and may you bless our giving, and may you do as you promise, give us so much more in return. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.